Hallelujah. Amen. So we thank God. That was a great, great, great group of people. Amen. So we had how many people for A101? How many people? All right. 22 people, and 22 people did A201. A101 is our membership orientation class. That's the first class. The 201 is ministry orientation class. That's the second class. And the third one is maturity orientation class, all right, which is 301. All right, so A101 happens every month, and the other classes happen every other month. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Congratulations, Agape House of Worship. Amen. Happy 18th anniversary. Amen. And I really want to just honor God for the privilege that we have to celebrate today. It's a wonderful day. It's a day to remind us or remind ourselves why we do what we do, why we are here. Oftentimes we can easily forget, why are we here? Why do we do what we do as a church? And where are we going as a church? I have a few pictures I will just have displayed to just give you a little bit of, you know, the story of Agape House of Worship. This is my son, Joel. He was 2 years old when Agape House started. He's now 20 and in college. The next picture is my second, who is my daughter, Ebun Oluwa. My wife was 8 months pregnant with her the day the church was inaugurated. She wasn't even born, she was in the tummy. Amen. And the third, this is my last, Ife Oluwa. She wasn't even conceived yet, right? We were still debating whether we wanted her or not. I think a year later, she snuck out on us. Today is also special. I had Joshua Olatubos, who started as my PA today. Right? He was the first baby we dedicated in Agape House of Worship. Mm-hmm. You know what? I wanted a church that my children would love to go. And that's really what I told my wife. That we need to build a church that our children would not just have to go, but will want to go. And I'm really excited that we have a church that my children, they want to go. I remember when we were in the old building and we had to do 2 services. And at the beginning of that, we told our children, it will be too much for you to go for 2 services. So our house is less than 20 minutes away. We'll figure out how to bring you for the 2nd service. They said, no. We want to be in the 2 services. I said, no, we're not going to stay home. No. We want to be there. We want to attend. So throughout the few years that we had it, they were there for 2 services. And they were very happy to be there. And I think that's the story of Agape House of Worship, a church that is exciting to a 10-year-old and equally exciting to a 70-year-old. Hallelujah. Everyone has ownership. People who have been here for 4 months, they have equal ownership as people who have been here for 4 years. Someone here 18 months can do anything as someone who has been here for 18 years. All this happened not just by accident. They happen because that is what we wanted. That's what we prayed for. That's what we labored for. And that's what we work very hard to do. And by God's grace, that is what God has helped us. I want to say thank you to everybody that believed in me. I was 33 years old when the church started. I was really, a 33-year-old man is not someone that you really want to trust that much, right? 33-year-old guy, right? So I want to really thank those of the people who were there at the beginning, all right? Because it wasn't that easy. You know, I won't go into all the stories. It wasn't necessarily a very rosy start. But I'm grateful for people who stood by me and said, we believe in you. We believe there's a call of God over your life. And we believe in the vision that God has given to you. You all know yourself. I'm not going to name names. Otherwise, I'm going to miss somebody out, right? And it's going to be a problem. So I don't want to fall for that. But I also want to equally thank people who have joined along the way. And they have made the vision theirs. All right? Because the good thing about Agape is everybody join. You know, it's like a relay, right? Everybody join along the way and they play their part. It's not just people at the beginning. People that join next. And I actually believe people who are coming. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's not just us, there are many more who are coming to be part of the story of Agape House of Worship. There are many more who are joining now in South Jersey, and they are making the vision theirs. There are many more now who are joining in Houston, they are making the vision theirs. There will be many more that will join in Charlotte. There will be many more that will join in the Hispanic Church, and they will all make the vision to create a place where everyone is welcome. Not just welcome, but they are inspired to be and to do their best for God to be glorified. Rooted in that vision, that purpose, is the great commandment. The great commandment is about love. Everyone is loved. Is also rooted there is the Great Commission. It's about discipleship. It's to inspire people to be. That's discipleship. To be what God has called them to be. To do is to serve. And is to do their best for God to be glorified. And that is our story. And the story doesn't end here. The story continues. And together, we will all continue the story of Agape House of Worship. God bless you as you continue with us, as you journey with us. I want to say a special thank you to my wife as I close. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. Amen. So, she married an engineer. She didn't marry a pastor. She actually married an ambitious engineer who wants to do a lot. But along the line, God turned all that. I remember when I first told her, we just woke up in the morning and said, I think God is calling me to us to start a church. You know, I've prayed for a few days that it was going to be fine. And she said, yes, we are. And it's been, and that has been the journey since that time. So thank you so much for saying yes. Hallelujah. Today we are blessed to have a servant of God in our midst. He was here in April to grace our prophetic conference. And God used him greatly for that weekend. He also spoke on a Sunday. It was at that point I just felt the Lord said, bring him for the anniversary. So I actually told him, I think you are coming for our anniversary in February. Amen. And today he's here with his wife. He's from Canada. Hallelujah. And his ministry has taken him everywhere. In fact, he just returned on Thursday from Brazil. He was in Brazil for 9 days speaking. Came from Brazil on Thursday and came here on Friday to be with us. Amen. And I believe God has a word for him for us. And I'm eagerly expectant. How many of you are expectant? Hallelujah. I am expectant. And I know the Lord will give him a word for us. Thank you. Can we just celebrate Prophet Gary Hayes as he comes to the stage to bring us the word of the Lord?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, man. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It is an honor to be with you again. I don't know how to explain this, but we were in Brazil for a number of days, and we do a lot of work in Asia, Brazil, and you know, most of it is different languages. And so we don't get always to sing songs that we know. Today was awesome. Oh, my goodness. I was so blessed. I was so touched. Every time I come here, well, the two times that I've come here, last year and this year, I feel just so touched. I feel like there's been a deposit in my spirit and in my soul from you folks. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for just being you. You know, happy anniversary. Yeah. Amen. Amen. 18 years is a long time, and appreciated what Pastor Bimbola said about responsibility. And you come of age, right? You begin to do things, and you begin to be allowed to do things. And so I think that's really important. I want to say to Pastor and his wife, I felt like the Lord say that this is going to be a year of acceleration for you both. I think there's been plans and dreams in your heart that the Lord would want you to know that this is the year where you're going to see expansion and you're going to see acceleration come. And God is, as I've said it on Friday night, God is going to reveal things that have been hidden deep in your heart that he put there. And then because of process, time, and everything, you've just kind of shelved, that God's actually going to take them off the shelf, dust them off, reveal them to you, and you're going to walk into them in greater ways and influence and expectation. Listen to me, church. Influence and expectation are coming. I want to just share a thought, and maybe the guys could get, if you would, put this scripture, get ready to put this scripture. It's Acts chapter, make sure I get the right scripture. Acts chapter 11. We're going to read 19 to 30. We're going to talk about a supernatural church. How many want to be a supernatural church? Like, I don't want to be just a religious church. I want to be a supernatural church. I want to be a church that actually operates in the supernatural. And so much of what I'm going to say to you is actually what you guys have been operating in, but I want to remind you that your future is ahead, and it requires people who will take an authority and take the responsibility to go faster and further and more in God. How many want to be that way? And so that's what I want to encourage you. Every church receives a specific appointment and calling. You have received a specific appointment and calling. And by the Lord, no, not by your pastor. Like, yes, your pastor is leading, but it's by the Lord. God put this in place. And God will initiate even more than you could ever imagine. Are you ready for initiation? Where God begins to ignite you in his will and his purposes. I really believe that God wants us to know beyond the shadow of a doubt why we are here. why we are here. We're here for a reason. And so God calls every church really to have what we're going to read today is an Antioch spirit. This Antioch church in the Bible, it was a church that boldly declared the gospel of the kingdom and saw transformation in their city, in their region, in the nations of the world. This church was a significant church. And I want to say to this, you're a significant church. Come on. I said, you're a significant church. For 18 years, you've had an appointment and a calling to fulfill. And God is saying he wants you to continue and expand that calling. Lift that calling into new ways. A supernatural church is a church that readily hears the word of God. Does what God says regardless of natural impossibilities. How many know the world's crazy? It's going crazy. And there's, if you just look through your own eyes, you will see impossibilities all the time. But we are not called to see by our natural eyes. We're called to walk and see it by faith. And God wants to accelerate on our understanding. He wants to open the eyes of our understanding so that we can see that he is a God of impossibilities. He's a God that can do miracles. Come on, he's a God that wants to see the evidence of grace on our lives. And so the supernatural realm is a realm above and beyond the ordinary. It's not everyday activity. The supernatural is when you begin to hear God, you step into it and God moves. God begins to work on your behalf. Do you need some supernatural activity in your life? Come on, how many need some supernatural activity? We should all be saying yes. See, though we live on the earth, God wants us to operate in the realm of the supernatural. The Holy Spirit, obviously, is the key to the supernatural. The supernatural life is a Holy Spirit-empowered life, not just like put God in a box life. God, this is my day today, and this is where I take you out and I display you in my life. But actually, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. No jet lag, just tired. It's a life of dependence on God for guidance, wisdom, revelation, and strength. The primary reason you and I operate in the supernatural realm is for people to see and respond to Christ. It's not so that we become glorified, it's that people see Jesus. They believe in Jesus. Come on, can I hear an amen to that? Okay, let's look at Acts chapter 19. Let's read these scriptures, and then I'm just going to give you some thoughts. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. Now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen. Hey, guys, could you turn the monitors down up here, if that's possible? I just feel like I'm yelling at you. Am I yelling at you? Okay, I'm yelling at myself then. Okay. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. So at this moment, they were just set on one thing. But God was about to change things. Listen, let's not focus our attention only on one thing where we're comfortable with, but let God open our eyes. Let God expand our vision. Let God move us into new ways. And he says, but some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord was with them. Come on, let it be said of Agape House, the power of the Lord was with them. Come on, would you say that? The power of the Lord was with them. Come on, turn to someone and say, the power of the Lord is with you. And then he said, and many of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, another version says, when he'd seen the evidence of the grace of God. In other words, there's evidence that God's looking from all our lives, right? That, hey, the grace of God is in our life. And then he says, for he was a good man, or let me say it, he came and had seen the grace of God. he was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Let's pray. Father, today we just thank you for 18 years. We thank you for 18 years of building your church day by day, brick by brick, people by people. Lord, we thank you that these next 18 years, next 20 years, next 40 years, should you tarry, Lord, that these are going to be even greater days. Lord, there's more people to reach. There's more cities to take. There's more nations to impact. Lord, there's more training and equipping. All that you want us to do, Father, we pray, give us strength. Pour strength onto your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this church started actually from the persecution of Stephen. And many of the believers began to travel because of the persecution. They were dispersed. Every church has a beginning. 18 years ago, you had a beginning. Right? And so we don't ever want to dismiss the day of small beginnings. But the Bible says you had a small beginning, but in the end, you will increase. Come on, God's heart is not that we stay small, not that we stay small in our thinking, not that we stay small in the way we do things. God's heart is that we increase. Come on, say increase. That's the heart of God for the church of Jesus Christ, is that we increase, that we believe God, that he has more for us, that he wants to fill us with more of his power. He wants us to operate in his spirit. And so revival basically had broken out, and Barnabas was sent from Jerusalem to establish this local church. And he had tremendous success preaching the gospel and needed help. And so he went and found Saul. And we know the story of Barnabas and Saul, how they connected. And for many years, Paul and Barnabas stayed at Antioch, and this church actually began to just really small. It was a small group of people, but overall, it began to be a church that had great influence. In fact, historians say that this church lasted 500 years. 500 years. Some of the early church fathers pastored this church. This church started like every other church, small, with little to no influence. But because of the foundation of Christ and how doctrinally they were sound, and the nature of this people were willing to become Christians. They were willing to be identified as Christians. Hey, there's a lot going on about identity in the world, right? We need to be identified as Christians. Come on, sold out, God-fearing, Lordship-believing believers. Amen? That we are, like we sang this morning, in Christ alone. He's our foundation. And so this church, actually at its height, they said, grew to be 100,000 people. It had over 3,000 full-time staff. When Jerusalem fell and the Jerusalem church was basically scattered, this place, Antioch, became the place where the church began to advance. Like we said, it was the first church that was called Christians. They called them Christians. And so here's the question: what kind of church does God want? What kind of church will Agape House of Worship be 25 years from now? My church last year celebrated 50 years anniversary. And so, you know, just a small group of people. We have all, you know, really actually in our church now, we probably have maybe three, four families from that time. And you know, we did this board, and we did it by years, you know, certain years. And you could see how, you know, they started out like 5 families, 10 families, something like that. And then a few years go by, there's not really a lot of growth. And then you see a big patch of growth. And then where we came in, there was a growth. And then we saw a lot of growth in those years. And then just in the last, like since 2020, there's been so much growth. It was so amazing to see. But my grandson is 4. So what's going to happen? What kind of church will I leave my grandson when he's 54? Will he be a leader? Will be he, like, should the Lord tarry? Like, you can't build with a mindset, we're getting out of here. You got to build with a mindset, we're building for longevity. Come on, we're building to touch the world, right? And so what kind of church, what kind of people do you guys want to be 50 years from now? Well, the Antioch church, let me give you just some thoughts. We read it through there. Number one, Antioch churches preach the gospel. Come on, do you preach the gospel? You know, and we see harvest take place. In other words, our mission, our calling is to reach the lost. Would you say reach the lost? That's the heart of God. It's time in this day for the church to speak up. I was in Brazil, and you know, I say when I go to Brazil, it's like a honeypot for a bear. You just stick your hand in and pull out honey. You just call for salvation and they come. In 9 churches, we had 13 meetings, and we saw 176 people come to Christ. 176. Preaching the gospel. Just believing God, proclaiming the world. As the world is growing darker and darker, God is asking people to keep preaching the gospel. You know, there, let me tell you this story. There was a guy who was on the bus. He got off the bus outside of the church. He didn't even know it was a church. He was walking by the church, and they were having these meetings. They call them supernatural meetings. And so they're having this meeting, and this guy's walking by the church. He thinks it's a concert. So he says, I want to go in. And so he feels compelled to go in. At that time, I'm talking to the pastor during the worship time, and I said, Pastor, I feel like we need to just give an altar call. Can we just give an altar call right now? He goes, yes. So I get up there, just a short gospel message. And then I say, if you're here, come on, you need to come. This guy literally runs to the altar, gives his heart to the Lord. At the end of the service, the pastor sits with him and talks with him, and he says, I years and years and years ago, I was in ministry, I was a pastor, but I fell away from the Lord. I got into an alternative lifestyle. He was homosexual, and he said, my life was a mess, but as I walked by the church, I felt something saying, go in. And immediately at that moment, we were having just a bit of worship, and then the altar call, and he came running down to the altar. Come on, church, that's why you're here. Come on, never forget, you are here to preach the gospel. Come on, Agape House, you're here to preach the gospel. Come on, you're here to preach the gospel. All over the world, people are getting saved. Let it be said in this region, people are getting saved. Let it be said that we preach repentance with faith. Amen? You got to repent. You got to get your heart right. Number two, Antioch churches move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you connected and linked to the Holy Spirit? Come on, that's what the heart of God is. It says the mighty power of the Lord was with them. And I had this word in my spirit this morning, and it's this word, demonstration. Demonstration. And listen to what, this is the definition that I kind of came with. Demonstration is a proof by the spirit and power of God operating in me or you, stirring in the minds of those who hear, that persuades us to be bold. God wants to put a demonstration in your spirit that causes you and I to be bold in God. Come on, God wants to anoint you with boldness. Church, at the end of the service, if I forget, please someone remind me, but I felt like the Lord say, today, I want to pray a prayer of impartation where you would walk in boldness of the power of the Holy Spirit in every area of your life, that there wouldn't be one area, there would be no areas where you would not see a demonstration of God's Spirit working through you. In this church was strong. They were operating in the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, and that that church was so strong in worship that released the presence of God today. Come on, did we not release the presence of God? Were you not touched in the power of the presence of God when the worship team began to sing? When they were singing that, "You're going to build my church," I was like, oh, whew, yes. Build your church, Lord. That's why we're here, to build the church. Paul said it this way. He said that it was God's intent that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the powers, come on, and the principalities, because of the grace that was given through Jesus Christ. And so, church, God wants us to demonstrate a church that's militant in prayer. We got here a little late because I lost my watch, but I found it. Hallelujah. And they said, "You can stay up there." And I said, what's happening? They said, "We're praying." I said, "Well, church starts when prayer starts." Like, honestly, if you're not here at 9:30, you're missing what you're missing. Prayer at church starts at 9:30. I grew up in that. I didn't grow up just because I'm a pastor. When he was saying about his kids, my son was the same way. We had three services. And we used to say, "Josh, the Saturday night service was your service. You don't have to come on Sunday." He's like, "What do you mean? I want to come on Sunday. I want to serve. I want to be involved." And then we'd say, "Josh, prayer starts at 9:30. Okay, we're there at 9:15. Why? Because we're seeking a demonstration of the Spirit of God in our lives. Come on, church, continue to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's another one. Antioch churches were full of grace-filled, faithful, passionate, Jesus-loving people. Do we have any of that in here? Faithful, watch, grace-filled, passionate, Jesus-loving people. This is what it says. When he got there and witnessed for himself God's marvelous grace, he was enthused and overjoyed. He encouraged the believers to remain faithful and cling to the Lord with passionate hearts. God is wanting to fill us with his grace. On Friday night, I was sharing with some leaders about God's grace. And I want you to know God's grace is available to you and I. His grace is his divine influence on our heart and its reflection in our life. That God wants to pour his Spirit into us where his grace, not only just his favor, but his power wants to touch you. Do you need grace today? That's the kind of church Jesus is building. 18 years, that's what the heart of your pastor has been, is to pour grace. God, we need favor. Yes, we need favor, unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. God, pour it out. But God, we also need your power and ability, right? One version says it's the God, grace is the God-given desire and ability to accomplish his will. That's God's heart. He wants to give you his desire, and then he wants to give you the ability to accomplish his will. Church, there's greater days for you. Do you believe that? There's much more that God wants to do. See, God's grace was moving in the hearts of every believer. God's grace was causing them to grow. God's grace wants you to grow. God's grace was upon every interaction and gathering. Whenever they got together, God's grace was available. There wasn't divisions. There wasn't animosity. But the grace of God was bringing them together. The grace of God was working in their heart. God's grace was empowering them to fulfill their calling and their gifting. I know you know this already because some of you have already gone through 201 and 301. How many have gone through 201 and 301? But listen, every one of you has a calling. Every one of you has gifts. Every one of you has ministries. And church is not church if everyone is not operating in their gift and their calling. God wants you to fulfill your gifting and your calling. Listen, there's more churches to be started. So where does that come from? It comes from right here. People have a calling and a burden to plant churches. Missions. Going into the world. There's people that God wants to anoint, that God's put it in your heart. That God wants you to be established in his will and in his purpose. Come on, is anybody out there? Number four, Antioch churches are equipping and teaching centers, establishing new believers and getting them doctrinally sound, right? So God is looking to establish and equip his believers every time. something new comes. Maybe I saw the marriage conference there. You're like, that's an opportunity for you to be equipped. You know, in 44 years of ministry, I know I don't look that old, but 44 years of ministry, you know what I found? The people who come to marriage counters, marriage ministries and marriage seminars always have good marriages. The people who need to come don't come. And they have bad marriages. It's just pastoring. I've seen that over and over again. And so the church is constantly trying to equip. That's the heart of the church. In 18 years, how many have been equipped? Come on. Come on, that's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. Let me just give you a couple more. Antioch Church has helped to identify, helped to establish the identity of Christ in people's hearts. The first time they came to know, be known as Christians. They weren't disciples now. They were Christians. They took discipleship to another level. They actually, people began to recognize them as Christ in them. They saw Jesus operating. Church, your mandate is to become a beacon where people will look at you and say, those guys are Christians. Wow, those aren't just people who go to church. They're Christians. They're people who have a revelation of who Jesus is. Knowing who you are in Christ, listen, will bring security, peace. It'll bring purpose. It'll bring everything that you need. And that's the heart of God. He wants to establish that kind of church. I just want to remind you again of what God is calling you to do in the next 18, 20 years. Is really actually nothing new. It's the same old thing. But that same old thing is what causes people to change and be transformed and be equipped and be empowered by God. It's preaching the gospel. It's walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Number six, Antioch churches are apostolic and prophetic centers, releasing the power of God, shifting atmospheres, and speaking into society at large. I want to say this to you. I know we don't go by titles. I'm just Gary from Hamilton, but there's an apostolic anointing on your pastors. That means there's an apostolic anointing on you. You have prophetic teams. You're an apostolic and prophetic. I believe in this. I really feel like in this next 10 years, we're going to see what I would call a revolution of the apostolic and the prophetic in the church. Because if you study it, the reality is when Paul said, God has given me a grace to know how to build the church, and he calls himself a master builder, that if you study it, the revelation that God gave Paul and the apostles and the prophets of the day is that they knew how to build the church, that previous prophets, previous fathers of the faith did not have a full revelation, but God has given today a better revelation. He wants to give even more revelation on how to build the church, how to make the church relevant, how to make the church powerful, how to build the church so that we can expand and expand and expand. Come on, can I hear an amen? I have a friend who, he took over a church. It was a good church, 1,500 people. Awesome, great church, great leader. He took it over, and the pastor said, the former pastor, he's still there, they're great friends. He said, the only thing you can't change is doctrine. He said, no problem. I won't change doctrine. I'm 100%. That church is now 10,000 people. Has over 35 churches. What was it? God anointed this man with a grace to build. To go to another level. In your life, hear me out. God wants to pour grace on you. He wants to give you a strategy to build according to his plan. To build according to his plan. He wants to give you a strategy, and he wants to put a grace on you to prosper in every area of your life. That grace can only come through revelation. And so the more grace, right? Paul said it this way. He said, I don't want to frustrate the grace of God. Don't frustrate the grace of God. That means to neutralize. That means to reject, nullify. There's a grace that God wants to pour on you because there's an apostolic grace that God wants to pour through the leaders onto your life. And when you do that, all of a sudden you think differently. Can I just be honest? As I've traveled, I go to lots of churches. I go to churches of 50, churches of thousands. And what I have found is that there are certain leaders I need to get around. I just need to be around them. Just walking with them wherever they're going. Asking them questions, picking their brains. Because there's something on them. They think different than I think. And I've got to learn to think like they think. I'm messing with the camera guys. Sorry, guys, for moving around online. Forgot about the online people. God bless you. I hope you're receiving. There's a grace. Church, there's something that God wants to deposit in your spirit today. Because you're under this. You're under this anointing. You're under an apostolic and prophetic anointing. That means that God gives you strategy and he gives the ability to hear. Right? He gives you the ability to think like him. He gives you the ability to operate like him, to act like him, to move in the spirit. And that's the heart of God for you. Actually, that's the heart of God for all churches, but not all churches are created equal. It's just the truth. There are some churches that lean in, that step in. There are some people who lean in and step in and say, yes, I receive that. I'm taking that in. I'm receiving that impartation. Listen to what Paul says. He says, for this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power. For all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Just two more. Antioch churches have a generous spirit. Did you notice in the passage there was a famine, and so they gathered resources and they sent it? $260,000. Did I hear that right? $260,000. What more can you give in the next 20 years? How much more can you invest? That's the heart of God, is that we be a generous church. Antioch churches respond to current needs with a generous spirit of giving because they know what they will give will come back to them pressed down and shaken together and running over. That's the heart of God. Recently, I had a man call me and he said, Pastor, what's your mission? Like, what are you doing? What missions are you doing? And I said, oh, well, you know, I'm going to certain nations. And no, he goes, no, what's your mission? And I said, well, my mission, I'm going to these group of nations and I'm paying for it. That's my mission. I'm having to pay for it out of my ministry. I'm paying for it. He goes, what do you think that's going to cost? I said, well, I've anticipated it's going to cost me 20,000 US. He said, okay, let's talk. I said, okay. So we set up an appointment on Tuesday and I said, hey, Pastor, I can't meet you on Tuesday. Or no, he wasn't a pastor, a business guy. I said, I can't meet you on Tuesday. Can I meet you on Wednesday? I said, sure. He said, sure. So we do this Skype call, Zoom call. And he said, Pastor, tell me again what you're doing. And I said, well, I'm going to do a pastor's conference for 250 pastors and leaders in Germany. And we're doing, they're all Russian speaking pastors. And so I'm speaking into that region. Then I'm going to this region. And I'm going to be doing this. And, you know, just things that are on my heart to do that I just felt the Lord say, commit to it and he'll fund the resources. He said, now, if you'd have told me this yesterday, he said, I would have given you maybe $2,000. He said, but last night, I had a significant increase come into my bank account. I was like, Jesus, thank you for delay. I think that's a word for somebody. I just had that in my spirit. I think that's a word for somebody. You're sitting on delay and you're frustrated because there's delay, but God's setting up for somebody to release things. You know, that guy sent me $27,000. $27,000. I was like, Jesus, send more delay. Right contacts. See, Antioch churches are generous churches. Church, never be stingy. Never be stingy in your giving, in your time, in your faithfulness, in your worship. Never be stingy in your worship, please. I took video today. I want to send it back. And I want to somehow, if I could take some of you back. I mean, we got Nigerians in our church too. And so I'm gonna push them a little bit further. And come on, we need them in worship. And I mean, never be stingy in your worship. Like even when you don't feel it, never be stingy. Press in. Press in. Be generous. That's the heart of the church that you are. Last one. Antioch churches have a mission focused, planting churches and touching the nations of the world. Watch this. In verse Acts 13, it says, while they were worshiping, this is in Antioch, before the Lord in prayer and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I have called Barnabas and Saul to an important work for me. Now release them to go and fulfill it. So after they had fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, sent them out. See, the greatness of a church is not measured by the quality of the people, quantity of the people, but by the quality of the people. Do their lives reflect Jesus, demonstrate truth, and manifest the life of the Spirit? I want to say this, church, can you continue to have a heart to plant churches? Can you continue to have a heart to sow into missions? Can you have a heart to have a world focus, not just a local focus? Amen. Hallelujah. That's the heart of God. I wrote this quote down. I don't know where it's from. It's from a commentary, and this is what it said. It said, the Christian church is a great, continuous, supernatural community in the midst of a material, natural world. And every believing soul, because it possesses something of the life of Jesus Christ, has been the seat of a miracle as real and true as when he said, Lazarus, come forth. In your lives, right now, is the power for miracles. It's the power for miracles. Would you stand to your feet? It's the power for miracles. Hey, last time I was here, we prayed for a number of people to receive, for children. If you're one of those ladies, because there's a few, please see me after. I want to take a picture with you because it's just so important.
I think that was something significant that happened.
All right, awesome.
And I think the Lord put it in your heart to pray for families, believing God for children. And at least there's probably 4 or 5 of them who are expecting today.
Awesome.
Can you come forward if you're part of that? Can you come forward if you're here?
Awesome.
You're part of that?
Woo! All right. Jesus. Hallelujah.
And these were people who also, they had delays too. So it wasn't just like that.
They had delays
for a number of years believing God.
Hallelujah.
We've been praying for them. And
hallelujah.
After April.
Come on up here. Oh.
Amen.
You know, just that's, if that's I can amazing. Say this, I got a text this morning from Brazil, and a man said it last April, we prayed for him too, or it was February. No, in November, pardon me, in November, prayed, and his wife is 13 weeks pregnant. Come on, God's a miracle working God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I mean, I think after this service, you can take a picture with it. I just think it's a powerful testimony of what God does.
Amen.
And I believe that will build our faith. as he prays now too. I think he's
getting ready. Let's pray over these guys right now, that the blessing of the Lord would make rich and add no sorrow. Sweetheart, are you up? Is this lady up for prayer for something? We can pray for her in a minute. Okay. Let me pray for you guys. Would you join hands? Just join hands. Father, today we just thank you for the blessing of the Lord, that it makes rich and adds no sorrow. Lord, that right now there are arrows being formed in these women. Mighty arrows. Father, arrows that are going to hit the mark. Arrows that are going to be shot out at the right time, Lord, to the purposes of God and the plans of God. And so we release your blessing on them. But Lord, we release your provision on their families. Lord, that nothing would be, there'd be no lack. Every baby would be healthy. Every baby would be born healthy and strong. Father, there'd be no complications in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said amen. Thank you so much. Hey, can somebody take a picture? Can somebody take a picture? Yeah, yeah. Can you take a picture? Let me come down here. This is just really important. Just give me a second. Awesome, awesome. Awesome. All right. My time says I've got 6 minutes and 4 seconds. How many know the Holy Spirit understands time? He works beyond time. He can do things in a moment. Amen. First and foremost, and just everybody bow your heads and close your eyes if you would. I don't know who's here this morning, but we do this all over the world. It's our greatest joy is to invite people to get right with God. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, this is an opportunity for you to engage Jesus and to invite him into your heart. You might say, hey, I've been coming to church, my friends have been inviting me, but I've never taken that step to give my heart to Jesus. If that's you, in a moment I'd like you to just lift your hand up. If you're here and you are far from Jesus, like you need to be reconciled with him. You know your heart is far from him and you'd say, I need to get right with God. If that's you, put up your hand. So on the count of three, would you just put up your hand anywhere in the building? If you need Jesus or you need to be reconciled with Jesus, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Come on, just put up your hand. Anybody here this morning? I know that this is a special service. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Amen. 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 Yeah, let's just give them a hand. Hallelujah. Anybody else? God wants to touch you this morning. He's the healer of hearts. He's the one who strengthens us. If you raised your hand, would you just quickly, just for me, would you come down to the front right here? I want to pray with you. I just want to pray a simple prayer. Don't be afraid. Just come to the front. Jesus wants to meet you. Amen. Come on, there's another hand over here and one here. Just don't be afraid. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. I appreciate what's your name. Nice to meet you. God bless you. Hey, God bless you, man. What's your name? Nice to meet you, man. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Are you coming up too? Awesome. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Amen. Anybody else? I always want to give people an opportunity. Don't be afraid. This is a moment. Amen, man. God bless you. God bless you. What's your name?
Sean.
Nice to meet you, Sean. Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. We're just going to say a simple prayer, okay? I'm not maybe going to pray it the way you would. Ah, oh, awesome. Hey, man, what's your name? Nice. What's your name?
Great.
Nice to meet you, man. I'm going to just pray a simple prayer, okay? I'd like you to repeat it. The whole church is going to repeat it too, okay? And we're just going to invite Jesus to come into our heart, change us, He does it. I don't know how he does it. He just does. Because he loves us, right? And he loves you guys. So let's pray, okay? Lord Jesus, you guys repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. Come into my heart. Change me. Lord, forgive me of all of my sin. I just give it to you. I ask that you would take it away and you would transform my heart, change my heart. Jesus, I choose this moment to acknowledge you, and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you so much. Hey, we're just going to take you out there just to get you some information, okay? God bless you guys. God bless you. Awesome. 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 Come on. Come on. That's why we're here. Come on. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Church, never let that get old. Last year, we saw 405 salvations. We went to 83 churches last year. 405 salvations. So far this year, not including that, we've had 179. God is moving. Listen, God wants to accelerate. Amen? In your life right now is a seed of a miracle that God wants to do in your heart. Happy anniversary. But listen, 18 years, hallelujah. Right? The Bible says, don't remember the past, for behold, I will do a new thing. God wants to do more than you could ever imagine. He set you up to be an Antioch church, having an Antioch spirit, walking in the power of the Lord. Would you just lift your hands right now? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for an impartation of your power, your presence, your word that would go through every family, every individual, every household. Lord, that you would come and dwell in them, that the power of the Lord would be present, not only to heal, but to be demonstrated. Lord, that everyone would see the evidence of the grace of God in this house. I pray for Pastor and his lovely wife. Lord, today we just pray extra grace, special anointing on them. We pray, Lord, as they lead their team, all the pastoral team, all the deacons, elders, or however you call them, ministers. Lord, we pray a special grace, a new authority, Lord, that would come in this season. Lord, the power of the Lord. Lord, that this house, Lord, would 20 years from now, Lord, be doing more for you, more in your kingdom. Lord, nations would be impacted. More churches would be built, established in the name of Jesus. Come on, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Pastor. Hallelujah.